Genesis chapter 35, and you know, every preacher says, I'll try not to be long, but I really don't want to be long. But I want to allow the Lord to speak. I believe the Holy Ghost is going to minister to somebody. I believe that there's people here, you're waiting on an answer. This is the answer. I believe that maybe if you're a first-time guest here, this is the answer. Maybe you've been here for a while, this is the answer. And I believe God's going to speak in various ways, and we want the Lord to have his way, and we want to respond. Genesis 35, verse 1, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel. That word Bethel means the house of God, so be mindful of that. House of God, and dwell there. Make there an altar unto God that appeared unto you when you fled from the face of Esau, thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him. So this is what he said right after he receives the command that he needs to go to the house of God. And he says, to put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. Then he says, let us arise, go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, all the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And that is very famous spot of Abraham. If you've read the Bible a couple of times, you know that Shechem is mentioned. Verse 5, and they journeyed in the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So something to notice here is that before they went to the house of God, they put away the strange gods, they were washed, they changed their garments, and what happened was the fear of the Lord fell upon them after they got rid of the idols. Just something to consider. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14, the Bible says this very simply, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. So I just want to speak today on this subject, idols and strange gods. Idols and strange gods. So you can put your Bible down and you can, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's ask God to speak to us with an open heart. Father, we love you. We are appreciative, Jesus, of your goodness. God, you have showed up by your presence, by your spirit, Lord. And we pray right now, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to fall upon all of us, every single one of us. Fall upon me, fall upon the hearers, God. I pray that you anoint me to speak the word. Inspire me by your spirit, Lord. Let ears be open, let hearts be open, and may we respond, oh God, to the call. Let us respond to the confrontation. Let us respond to what you want to do in this house, God. And I pray, Lord, that conviction would fall upon us, Lord. And I pray that we would put away the strange gods, Lord, that your fear can be felt in this place, that your presence can be felt in this place, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give you the glory, we give you the honor and the praise, Lord. Why don't you clap your hands? Why don't you shout unto God? Why don't you magnify him for another moment, because he's worthy of all the praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I'm sure. Matter of fact, let me start my timer because I want to behave this morning. Hallelujah. I'm sure if I took a poll today on who here is an idol worshiper, I doubt I'd find someone here in the house of God on a Sunday morning in the church who loves Jesus that would say, you know, I'm an idol worshiper. You know, I worship idols. You know, every now and then I bow down to some statues. Or maybe you do. But we do know the implication of such an admission, because it is a violation of the first commandment by God given to man. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, the Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And we are to have no other gods, that is lowercase g, before God, whether that be literally, spiritually, or in priority. Nothing before God. No idol. No strange god. Nothing that should steal our time, strength, love, and devotion. An idol is just simply an image or a form of a deity. A strange god is a deity, both of which simply because of mankind, is given the strength, time, and devotion, and is just simply called God. But having the commandment of you shall have no other gods before me, having that commandment and living it out are two different things. Because we are all worshipers. We will worship something. It's not a matter of if. We will worship something. It's not a matter of if. It's just a matter of what we will worship. The Christian will worship. The agnostic will worship. Even the atheist will worship. The rich, they're going to worship. The poor will worship. The hungry will worship. The fool will worship. Every politician will worship. Every leader will worship. Every governmental employee will worship. Every dictator will worship. Every person, every man, every single person in mankind will worship. The greatest among us will worship. And the least of us will worship. Somebody say, I'm a worshiper. Doesn't matter your title or lack thereof, your pedigree or lack thereof, if you are breathing, you are a worshiper. Worship is not a song in a church service only. Worship is not a genre on Apple Music or Spotify only. Worship is not the slow song on the set list. Worship is where our devotion lies. Worship is where our time is spent. Worship is what captures our mind and attention. Worship is what we are willing to sacrifice for. Because everybody worships something or someone. Because we are just simply created to worship. God created us to worship Him. But understand that we have misaligned priorities and misaligned affections and misaligned desires. And our desires that are misaligned, our strength that is misaligned, can go to something else. So understand that the commandment came not because Jehovah, the one true living God, was the only option to be worshipped at the time. It came because there was an abundance of options at the time. Abraham came from a lineage who worshipped the moon and the sun and the stars. They built carved images. You can look it up to this day. They've even got the artifacts where they would carve these images of the sun and the moon and the stars, and they would sacrifice to these things. All of the Semitic tribes in the early days after the flood would worship strange gods made with silver, gold, and copper, and they would cut themselves, and they would, excuse the language, prostitute themselves as well in services to these gods and these idols. But then God, the Almighty God, called Abram from his pagan family and told him to worship him alone and follow him who was invisible. That was important because every people at that time, every people group had a god, but their god was made by their hands and from the imagination of their heart, and they weren't worshiping the one true living God. But the Lord called Abraham and made him a nation to worship him, and that nation would soon go into Egypt and be slaves for more than 400 years. They were among the Egyptians who worshiped up to 10 to 60 different gods in their major pantheon. That's just the major pantheon. It said that they've had up to 15,000 different gods, according to their whole history that Egypt has been around. They had a god for pretty much every aspect of this physical life. They had a god for the Nile. They had a god for the sun. They had a god for the stars. They had a god for the moon. They had a god for fertility. They had a god for prosperity. They had a god for calves. They had a god for the frogs. They had a god for flies. They had a god for the dust. They had a god for a temple. They even made their own rulers gods. They had a god for everything. If you could see it, it became a god. And Israel was forced to live among a culture of polytheism, idol worship, and religious practices that were contrary to the worship and practice of the one true living God. And let me just stop here and say today it's no different. It may not be stones. It may not be carved images. It may not be gold covering stones. It may not be silver at times. It may not be copper. And it may not be the same practices of the ancient days, but it's no different today. We are living among idols and strange gods. And those idols and strange gods are conceived in the heart of mankind. It's conceived through our sinful flesh. And it's formed by our hands. And it's celebrated by the masses who are underneath the cloud that Satan has put us under. It is the same today. It can be anything. It can be the things that comes from our heart. And other times it's things that are just presented to us. I said it's the same today. We're living in a culture that wants to worship everything but Jesus Christ. We're living in a culture where they don't want us to say the name Jesus. We're living in a culture, my Lord, I feel the help of the Holy Ghost. We're living in a culture where we can say God is good, just don't say Jesus. We're living in a culture where we can attribute the works of God saying God, and that's just being general, but don't say Jesus. But I'm here to preach today that there's no other God but the name of Jesus. There's no other person but the name of Jesus. You can call it a God. You can call it Lord. You can call it King. Call it whatever you want. But the only one who truly reigns is the name of Jesus. Lord, have mercy. It can be, these idols can be politics. These idols can be sports. These idols can be music. It can be jobs. It can be entertainment. It can be religion. It can be a relationship or lack thereof. It can be money. It can be cars. It can be houses. It can be clothes. If you can see it, it can be an idol. It can be the idol of self. And Lord, have mercy. That is probably the number one thing today is the idol of self. Self-worship, the Bible says, that men shall be lovers of themselves. In these last days, they'll be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. It can be an idol, that's a dream. It could be culture. It could be success. It could be an image. It could be our race. It could be our lineage. It could be the praises of men. It could be approval. It could be bitterness. It could be unforgiveness. Y'all, it could be vanity. It could be our appearance. It can be what we think somebody's thinking about us. Let me just say, it could be anything you can think of. If you can think of it, it can become an idol. If you can conceive it, it can become an idol. If you can handle it, it can become an idol. And we are inundated with strange gods. Gods like the Israelites when they were in Egypt. Though they can't compete with Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, for though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but unto us, that is unto the church, there is but one God, the Father of whom all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. In other words, the invisible God became a man, manifest in the flesh. The Bible says that same God who called himself the first and the last, he took upon himself the form of a servant by the name of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I'm the first and the last, the Almighty, praise God. And there's no other name under heaven given among my men by which we must be saved. There's no other God that can compete. Allah cannot compete. Buddha cannot compete. Confucius cannot compete. Muhammad cannot compete. There is no other religion that can compete. There's no other religious philosophy that can compete. Aristotle can't compete. Confucius can't compete. Pilate cannot compete. The only power that has the authority is the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody said that's offensive. No, it's just the truth.
not trying to be offensive today. It's just the truth, and we've got to stand on it. I'm not willing to compromise. I'm not willing to compromise and say that there's multiple ways to heaven. The devil is a liar. Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You've got to go down in Jesus' name. You've got to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. I'm not here to compete, because you can't compete with Jesus. Cannot compete with Jesus. There is no idol or God that can compete. But Moses, having come back with a call from God and the power in his staff to deliver the Israelites by the way of the Red Sea, God saved them from the bondage of slavery to be a holy nation. And now this nation would need to be separated from the culture of the other nations. And so Moses was sent to Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights to receive the commandments and the laws that would govern their nations. And the people, this is important, the people had an opportunity to enter into the presence of God with Moses, but they elected not to. The Bible says in Exodus 20, they said unto Moses, speak thou with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. And this is what the Bible says in verse 21. It says that the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. The unwillingness to draw near to God, to enter into his presence, is what brought about an idolatrous event in Exodus 32. Remember that Moses said that had you drawn near, you would sin not. Had you would enter into the presence, you wouldn't have sinned. But instead they said, no, you go up and be with God. We're going to stay down here. And then in Exodus 32, the Bible says, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as is Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto him, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons and your daughters, and bring them unto me. The same thing that happened with Jacob in our opening scripture. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And the Bible says in verse 4, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it into a golden calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt. Too much time outside the presence of God leads to idol worship. Too much time outside the presence of God will lead to idol worship. An unwillingness to draw near to God will lead to idol worship. It's never overnight, but over time. Understand that it took them 40 days. It was just over a month. It was about 5 weeks. And all of a sudden, they're starting to think, well, we haven't felt God. We haven't felt the quaking of that mountain. We haven't seen the lightnings. We haven't seen the thunderings for a moment. And so we need to do something. And they were left to themselves. And they were led by their heart into idolatry. Because idols and strange gods come from the imaginations of our heart. The heart is the factory by which idols begin to take form and are set up first. You got to understand that thing, what happened with the Israelites, that didn't just happen just lackadaisically. That didn't just happen casually. You got to understand that that was already in their heart. In Ezekiel chapter 14, the Bible says in verse 3, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, every man of the house of Israel that have set up his idols in his heart and put it the stumbling block of his iniquity before his faith and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. In other words, God said, the same way that your idols answer you will be the same way that I will answer you. Because idols don't answer. Idols don't respond. And until you bring and tear down those idols, I will not respond. You will not go to the next level until those idols are gone. You will not break through until those idols are gone. But where did those Israelites get the idea of a calf? Where did they get that idea? That idea was from their experience in Egypt. It was their own ideology that they were built up with. It was their own past experiences that they had endured in Egypt. It was their own trauma that they had, their own hurt, their own affliction, their past and present affliction. And even those things can become an idol if we're not careful. The things that we carry, the ideology that we hold, the trauma that we've been through, the affliction that we have in our spirit, the hurt that we have endured, if we're not careful, that too can become an idol if we don't give that and put that before the feet of Jesus. But we have got to get through. We have got to get past those things. Amen. And they saw that culture of Egypt. They saw that and they were captivated by its strange gods. Those experiences had stayed with them in their heart. And even though the Israelites left Egypt physically, those idols had stayed within them. It could be said that they were delivered from Egypt physically, but it could not be said they were delivered spiritually. It could be said that they were outside of Egypt by location, but Egypt was still inside their heart. It could be said they were in front of the presence of God, but unfortunately, there is idols still within their spirit. And we have got to be careful, church, that just because we are in the house of God, just because we show up to the house of God, and thank God for showing up, but we have got to be careful that we don't show up and assume that we're good to go, that because we took the first step, we are good to go. No, just because we're in the house of God, that does not mean that our devotion is where it needs to be. Just because we made it to the house, that does not mean that strange gods aren't among us. Y'all hear me today? What are you saying? I'm saying it's possible to call yourself a Christian and still have idols. Oh, I know it's hard. I know it's hard to admit. Like I said, not one of us would say, hey, I worship idols. I know it's and I felt this in prayer. I felt this in prayer. That praying about it, I really felt the Lord prompting me, saying that when you get up there, you're going to feel some things. You're going to feel people wanting you to qualify some things, because we're always looking for somebody to qualify it to make sure whether we're doing it or not. We would much rather have somebody qualify it than just go to prayer and maybe take a day of fasting and ask God to speak to us for a little bit and go into our secret place and ask God, God, there's just something in my spirit that I need to let go of. We want somebody to qualify it. You want me to name some things off this graphic, but I'm not going to do it. I want you to go to the Lord. I want you to go to prayer. And I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, is there something in my spirit? Lord, is there something in my heart that's got to come down? If there is, then tear it. tower down. Help me to tear it down so that no idol can be in your presence. I'm not going to qualify it. I'm not going to call it out. I want you to call it out. You're going to be the one who has to call it out. You're going to be the one who has to say, God, yeah, that has to come down. Yeah, that has to come down. Yeah, I've got to break that idol. Yeah, I've got to get that strange God from away from me. Human nature, we want it qualified, but I'm not going to do it. The Holy Ghost is going to do it. The conviction of the Lord is going to do it if you will respond. But it's idols that are set up. And once it gets from our heart, it goes into our hands. Aaron received the material, those earrings to make the calf from the hands of the people. And then he fashioned it with his hand. The creation makes another creation, but it does not have life. It does not have life. In Psalm 115, the Bible says, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusts in them. What is it saying? It's saying what you will worship is what you will become. You will become the image of the very thing that you will worship. You will be take on the image of the very thing that you worship. And so if you really worship Jesus, we ought to be more like Jesus. If you really worship Jesus, you ought to be looking and talking and speaking like Jesus. But my Lord, if you're worshiping something else, we can tell the fruit of that. If you're devoted is in something else, we can tell the fruit of that. If your devotion is somewhere else, we can see the fruit of that. And those idols that then become physical by our hands have no life. They cannot deliver you. They cannot break addictions. They cannot forgive you of your sins. They cannot give you the peace of God that passes understanding. They cannot give you hope when you need hope. They cannot give you strength when you are weak. They cannot do the things that only God can do. Amen. They are empty. Felt this in prayer too. They are empty. It's vain. And because they are empty, then you are empty. I'm preaching to somebody today. You've been coming in, you're empty. Lord have mercy. I'm looking at some faces right now. I can tell it on your face. You're empty. You've walked into the house of God, but you're empty. You've got the job, but you're empty. Lord have mercy. You've got the relationship, but you're empty. You've got the achievements, but you're empty. You've got all these things, but you're empty. You're empty. You've got the compliments that people give you, but you're empty. You've got man's approval, but you're empty. You've got the certificate on the wall, but you're empty. You've got that new paying job, but you're empty. You're empty, you're empty. Because your devotion is not where it needs to be. Your worship is not where it needs to be. You've got the family. You've got the marriage. You've got the kids, but you're empty. I'm preaching to somebody this morning. I'm here to preach today. God can fill you if you would just tear down that idol. God will fill you if you would just tear down that idol. God can give you the real fulfillment and contentment if you would just tear down that strange God. It's vain. It's empty. They can't give you life. If they could, they would have delivered you a long time ago. Where are those gods that you've been serving? Where are those things that you've been so attached to? When you're in your deepest, deepest valley, can you call in the name of that thing and can it deliver you? Can you call in the name of that thing and can it break addictions? Can it give you peace? Can it give you love? Can it give you strength? Can it give you hope when you need it? It can't. and you partake again, and it's pleasure for a moment, is that you're empty again. I'm in the Holy Ghost today. You're empty. You've got it all in your hands, but you're empty. I've been in that place where you got it all, Lord, where they could buy you everything, but you're still empty. You're looking and you're searching. The answer is Jesus, but you've got to give up some things. Some of us aren't filled and full of the Holy Ghost because we haven't let it go. We haven't let it go. You use the strength, time, and devotion that was supposed to be for Jesus, and you're empty now. It was supposed to be for the Lord, but now you're empty. And idols aren't necessarily like the actual object. Some of those things aren't necessarily bad in and of themselves. But the issue with idols is that they turn from good into God. It starts off with a good thing, but then it turns into God. In that time, there was nothing wrong with gold. Have the gold. But when you melt that gold, and when you cover it over a tree, and you say, this is a God that delivers us, that's idol worship. That's not good. Nothing wrong with the stones that God created out of the mountain. But when you say, we carved this, this is the God that has delivered me, that's idol worship. That's not good. The one who called all things good created the heavens and the earth. But yet the creation took those things and began to worship it. That's not good. And so you can have good things. Nothing wrong with some of these things. It's priority. But when it transforms to good into God, we've got a problem. When it's stealing our devotion, we've got a problem. That's the issue with idols, because it's so subtle. It's so subtle that there's things that are set up, images that are set up in our spirits, and we don't even realize it. Fashioned with hands, but as always, idols and strange gods require a celebration. In Exodus 32, the Bible says in verse 5, when Aaron saw it, meaning the golden calf, he saw the joy of the people. He even built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink. And it says that they rose up to play. And I don't really want to get into what that actually means, but it was perverted. But what I'm saying is that there was a celebration of the idol. There was a celebration, and even Moses heard it while they were coming down from the mountain. They heard the noise of the celebration, because we will celebrate what we worship. We will praise what we are devoted to. The more committed we are, the greater the celebration. The more consumed we are, the greater the praise. That's why I just can't come into the house of God and just sit here and not do anything. I can't just come into the house of God and not give Him my strength, and not give Him my voice, and not give Him my time. After 6 days I gave it to my job. The devil is a liar. I've got to come into the house of God. I've got to show up on Monday and Tuesday. He's got to get my devotion and praise. He's got to get my time and strength. And it's not just for a Sunday. It's not just for Wednesday. It's for every day. Every day I gotta lift my voice. Every day I've gotta magnify Him, because He's worthy of it. Oh. What started as an imagination, it just started as a thought. In an imagination, then it became physical, and then it turned into a celebration. And whether we realize it or not, whether we're willing to admit it or not, we know that there are some things that we've got to tear down today through the spirit of deliverance today. There are things we've got to tear down in Jesus' name. You're going to have to say no to some things in the name of Jesus. Things that you set up intentionally or unintentionally, it's got to come down in Jesus' name. it's got to come down in Jesus' name. And that's when God will give you the breakthrough. It's a promise from him. It was that promise. He said, until you break down that idol, I'm going to give you the same answer that that idol gives you. It's going to be silence. It's going to be nothing. But if you really tear down that idol, if you repent and say, you know what, I'm done with those things. I don't want to watch those things. I don't want to partake with those things anymore. Then God will give you the breakthrough. Then God will give you the answer that you need. Not trying to be rude today. Just trying to preach the word of God. I'm trying to help somebody. I'm trying to help the person who's empty. Oh, God. You're empty. I've seen it on your face. Oh, you've got it all. I know you've got it all, but you're empty. Lord, have mercy. Oh, you want that walk with God, but you're empty. You're empty. And I'm closing today. The Bible says in Exodus 32, verse 7, the Bible says, the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people, your people. Because God's not going to associate with none of that. God is not going to associate with that idolatry. So he said, you need to go get your people. We've used that before. Like, that's your friend. That's your friend. They just showed up to the family reunion. I don't know, we know him. I don't even know that cousin. That's your friend. That's your people, Moses. You go and get them. And he said, which you brought out the land of Egypt. And this is what he said. They have corrupted themselves. Corrupted themselves. That's what idol worship does. That's what the spiritual implication of strange God does. It's a defilement. It's a lack of purity. We can have that purity, but as soon as we introduce something that turns from good into God, it's defilement. And we cannot be pure when we have strange gods. It brings corruption. It corrupts the purity of our devotion. And in Genesis 35, ending where I started, the Bible says, then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. That is the call today. Put it away. Put it away. In Ezekiel 14, this is what it says. Thus saith the Lord God, repent! That's the call every day, is repent. If there's ever a word for the church in America, if there was ever a word for the church in general, Lord have mercy, but especially America, it's repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. And show forth fruit worthy of repentance. Repentance is not just saying you're sorry. Repentance is not just boo-hooing for a little bit and thank God for the emotions that the presence of God will give us. But repentance is turning away from those things. Repentance is tearing down those idols and strange gods. Repentance is deleting some things off our phone. Repentance is deleting that subscription. The repentance is blocking that person from talking to you. Repentance is saying, I'm not going to that party. Repentance to say, I'm not hanging out with those people anymore. That's repentance. And that's the call this morning. You can stand this morning. The call is to repent. Repent of all of our sins, myself included. The Holy Ghost been dealing with me lately. And pobrecita, my wife, she got to hear about it every day. I thank God for her patience. I said, I just feel like it's time for a palate cleanse. It's just time to cleanse some things off my spiritual palate. Some things I've probably taken up without even realizing, habits I've taken up. It's just time for a palate cleanse. I'm just going to cleanse it all. So I said, I'm getting off of social media. I'm getting off of media. And I'm taking away all these things because I want to hear the voice of God. I want to hear what God is speaking to the church. I want to hear what the Lord is speaking to me individually. It's time for a palate cleanse. Amen. And that was the word. He said, repent. Nothing magical. No thunderings and lightnings. It's just simply repent. He's just looking for somebody who says, oh God, I'm sorry. Forgive me for my sins. Oh God, let me turn away. Cause me to walk in righteousness. Lead me to walk in purity. Oh God, I feel the Holy Ghost today. Oh, if you would just genuinely repent. This is not the time to look cute. This is not the time to come in and make it look like you're genuine. That's not the time for that. Because in reality, most of us aren't looking at you anyway. This is the time to say, you know what, God, I'm here. You've got to do something. If you're looking for an answer, that answer is found when those strange gods are gone. When those strange gods are gone. When those idols are gone. I tell you, I preached, I think it was a couple Wednesdays ago about signal versus noise. All these things are calling for our attention. It's calling for our devotion. It's calling for us to buy into what they're selling, to buy into their message. But that is not the time today, the time to ever buy into this word, to buy into the word of God, to buy into the truth of God is today, is now and forever. They are fighting for our attention. They want us to live their gospel, but the devil is a liar. There is only one gospel. There's only one gospel. One last scripture, just hear me out. This is for those of us who think we can have just enough of Jesus and have a little bit of idols. It cannot happen. The Bible says they feared the Lord. They had a fear of God. They knew the word of God. They knew what it took to make it. But they served their own gods. How is that so? How is that so? What I didn't give them is that a couple of verses before, essentially what happened is that Babylon sent in priests. And those priests, they basically told those priests, hey, teach them everything about Babylon, but they can still keep a little bit of the little religion. And that's how they feared God and served their own gods. They fear the Lord and serve their own gods. But I'm telling you, I'm not that priest today. I'm the priest who's going to preach the word of God. I'm the priest who's going to say, you've got to repent of your sins. I'm the preacher who's going to say, you got to be baptized in Jesus' name. I'm the preacher who says, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm the preacher who still says, holiness is right. Purity is right. Separation is right. All those things still matter today. I've got nothing else to say. These altars are open. I'm preaching to the people who are empty. You've got to tear down that strange God. You're still looking for me to qualify. I'm not qualifying nothing this morning. You know what's been stealing your devotion. You know what's been taking your strength. You know what's been taking your time. And so now, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to say, I'm letting go. I'm putting away the strange gods to be clean. Why don't you make your way to this altar for a moment? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Holy Ghost, speak to me, Lord. Oh, renew my mind, renew my spirit, renew my heart. Renew everything in my heart, oh God. Oh, in the name of Jesus Christ.